epistle lesson is from Galatians, the second chapter, verses 15 through 21, and may be found on page 188 in the New Testament section of your pew Bible. Jews and Gentiles are saved by faith. We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners. Yet we know that a person is justified not by the works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. And we have come to believe in Christ Jesus so that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by doing the works of the law. Because no one will be justified by the works of the law. But if, in our effort to be justified in Christ, we ourselves have been found to be sinners, is Christ then a servant of sin? Certainly not. But if I build up again the very things that I once tore down, then I demonstrate that I am a transgressor. For through the law I died to the law, so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if justification comes through the law, then Christ died for nothing. These are the words of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Sometimes we look at scriptures and wonder, where was God in that story? Naboth was a righteous man, as the Jews considered themselves. He followed the law, followed the Torah, and yet a king who wants his vineyard, that was his birthright, which he did not want to give up, did not want to surrender, was taken from him by lies, by deceit, even causing Naboth to be murdered as he was stoned because false witness had been brought against him. Each of the things that they used to accuse Naboth were things that were in the Jewish tradition, what you call moral law. We know that the law, the Torah, the Ten Commandments, all of the Levitical types of dietary restrictions were followed by good Jews, even to the point of ceremonial following of the law. Circumcision of the flesh for the males, certain religious holidays and observations, all of those observances. Those were what the Jewish tradition called as acts of obedience to the law. Christ comes and tells them that what He really wants, what God really wants with us, is us to follow the letter, not the letter of the law so much as the intent of the law. The law was given to man by Moses, by God to Moses, so that they could learn to stay in a right relationship with God. The first four of those Ten Commandments are our relationship with God, and how we were to live in a right relationship, a good relationship, with our brothers and sisters. Those other six are how we deal with our brothers and sisters, how we're to deal with the rest of the people in the world. Well, we know Jezebel and Ahab wanted it their way, regardless of whether or not they were supposed to be following the tenets of that Jewish law. They don't always follow either the letter nor the intent of the law. And sometimes we people pervert the letter of the law. They used the letter of the law against Naboth. They brought false witness against him, and he paid the penalty for it. And Ahab gets the field. But There's nothing that we do, there's nothing that Jezebel or Ahab did that God didn't know they were doing. And he sends a prophet to see Ahab, and he tells him that where the blood was spilled by Naboth as he died, so your blood will stain the ground. There's one thing about God, a number of things about God, but one is that he's consistent. He seems inconsistent to us because as we sin, he still forgives. It's that amazing grace piece that comes to us from that anthem. It's the amazing grace that comes to us through Paul's teaching to the church in the area of Galatia. It's grace and love and faith in God. That's our salvation. That's what makes us in a right relationship with God. It's our faith in what Christ Jesus has done, because you and I cannot get there by anything or everything that we could do, because you and I will make an error. We will make a mistake. There will be a thought or an idea that is not in a right relationship with either God, following the first four of those Ten Commandments, or our brother and sister. Jesus tells those people who are out there following the letter of the law and missing the intent, I come not to usurp the law, I come to fulfill the law. When Jesus says, you know, it says in the scriptures, thou shalt not commit murder. Jesus says, love one another. If there's that anger, if there's that hate, that's the primary motive for people to commit murder, that's the sin. Even if we don't act on it, it's still a sin. It puts us opposite or outside God's love and grace and mercy and, heaven forbid, judgment. For we all face judgment. I know that we live under grace. After Jesus comes and dies on Calvary, we are under grace because Christ has already done everything that's required for our salvation. He saved us on that cross. He purchased your pardon with his blood, his breath. He says from the cross, it is finished. That's your salvation. The price has been paid. God then pardons you and me and brings us into a right relationship. We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentiles, sinners. This is Paul's reading to the Galatians. Paul was answering something that was rising up. He had gone and preached the good news to the churches in Galatia that he had founded. And now there have been people who have come after him who tell them that they have to follow the law first and then have faith in God. And that makes them right-wise with God. Paul, in that white heat that some say comes in Galatians as you read it, it's a short book, very, very powerful. But Paul is saying that we are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners, because in the Jewish tradition, because they were children of Abraham, because they'd been circumcised, because they followed the law, that they were not sinners, because they followed the law. When the fact of the matter is, by the letter of the law, they couldn't fulfill the letter of the law because they would lie. How many of you have told a little white lie? Okay. Maybe stretch the truth a little bit. Just maybe kind of put a polish on it that kind of made you seem not so wrong. All right, look in a mirror. Are any of us without sin? No, not one. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the grace of God, but there's mercy and love. Yet we know that a person is justified not by the works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. I say again to you, know that a person is justified not by the works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. And we have come to believe in Jesus, in Christ Jesus, so that, my favorite two words, this happens so that, or in order to, that we might be justified by faith in ourselves, in the world, in the law. No, it says we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by doing the works of the law, because no one will be justified by the works of the law, because none of us can fulfill the law. Jesus is the only one who comes. As I said, Jesus said, I come not to usurp the law, I come to fulfill it. He is the fulfillment of the law. He is the perfect sacrifice on that cross. He is God Himself come to earth in flesh, paying the price, the penalty of sin, which is death, for you and for me, for our sins, for my sins, for your sins, for the sins of everyone from Adam through Abraham, through Moses, through David, through Jezebel and Ahab. All of those sin, all of that sin, Jesus is the full and complete payment for that sin. And God looks at us and sees us not as that unrighteous person made guilty of sin by the law that we have, but made rightwise by the blood that washes away our sin and makes us white as snow. Paul continues, but in our effort to be justified in Christ, we ourselves have been found to be sinners. If we have been, in our effort to be justified in Christ, we find ourselves have been found to be sinners. Is Christ then a servant of sin? Certainly no. Again, he comes not to usurp the law. He comes not to usurp the law and make it outdated. He comes to fulfill the law, because our faith in him fulfills and makes us righteous before God, the Father, the Creator. In verse 19, for through the law I died to the law so that I might live to God. I have been crucified by Christ. You know, when we celebrate a baptism, when we're totally immersed, or when we have the water, because the new covenant by water and spirit, when we have that renewing that occurs at that point, it's the dead to sin that is put under and died to sin so that we might be made alive by Christ, by his grace, by his love, by his mercy, and by our faith in him and our faith that Christ did all that needs to be done. You and I cannot earn salvation. You and I cannot purchase justification. You and I can accept that Christ did it for us on that cross. You and I can live into the grace and the glory that is justifying, that does make us rightwise. You know, we're still sinners. Baptized, we go from baptism back to sinning. We come to communion asking forgiveness for our sin. We go away blessed and rejuvenated by the body given, the blood shed, blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. Faith, who is your faith in? If your faith is in anyone other than Jesus Christ, it is a hollow faith. It is an empty faith. For though through the law I died to the law so that I might live to God, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Think of this. If there were any way for any of us to be perfect by our following the law. You know, Abraham was counted righteous by his faith. Abraham is 430 years before Moses is given the law by God at Mount Sinai. But Abraham's faith was counted to him as righteousness. Abraham wasn't perfect. He didn't even have the law to see how he had erred. Just read a little bit about Hagar and Ishmael and how perfect Abraham was. He wasn't. But he had faith in God, and when God told him to go, he went. When God gave him a promise that he would have a son, God fulfilled that promise. Paul says, I do not nullify the grace of God, for it is justification. For if justification comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Paul tells us again and again that it is Christ Jesus and what he has done for us already, and our faith in him. Romans 10, verses 9 through 10. If we confess with our lips that Jesus is Lord, that's how we know that Christ is there for us. Let me read something to you, a little bit about faith. In 1749, Charles Wesley wrote the hymn, Give Me the Faith Which Can Remove. In Galatians 3, which is the next chapter after chapter 2, Paul tells the struggling Galatians that faith comes through the Spirit and is the fullness of God's promise made to Abraham. Even though Jesus says after the resurrection and at his ascension, I must go to the Father so the Father will send a comforter, a counselor, that Holy Spirit. Even in that day and time, there was still God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the three visitors that Abraham had. Some commentators believe that is God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit that visited Abraham even before the Ten Commandments. The Galatians are hung up on satisfying the demands of the law and dictating who can enter the Christian community by adherence to those parts of the law, the ceremonial as well as the moral covenants. In response, Paul says, Christ is the embodiment of the law and has already satisfied the law's demands. He goes on to say that for those in the body of Christ, this gospel faith removes all division between race, sex, and class. There's no longer a Gentile and a Jew. In that first century, they didn't even call them Christians yet. They called them followers of the way. The ones who Paul was persecuting were not Christians before he became a follower of the way. They were followers of the way. Christians was later a term that was attached to those followers of the way in a way to admonish or to belittle or to demean them. Now today we look at being called a Christian and living into, by our faith, living into being a Christian as a banner of connection to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're Christians. How will they know we're Christians? How? By our love. Those hymns were not written just so we could sing along. Those hymns were not written just so we'd have a peppy face. Amazing grace is there so that we understand that Christ Jesus did that to save wretches like you and me. And we are all guilty of sin. We are all wretches saved by the grace of God, saved by our faith in what Christ has done for us already. Live by your faith in Christ Jesus. Yes, go out and do those and follow the moral commitments, the moral commandments. We're to love one another. Jesus says when he was questioned, what's the greatest commandment? Because they were trying to trick him up. There's 10. Which one's the greatest? He says, the greatest is thou shalt love thy Lord, thy God, with all thy heart, thy mind, thy soul, and thy strength. And the second, no less than the first, is to love thy neighbor as thyself. He took the 10 commandments and compressed it into the intent of the law without all the letters. For if you love God, you will not take his name in vain. If you love your brother and sister, you will not murder them. You will not bear false witness. You will not covet what they have. You will instead truly love them. And in that, you'll see the love and grace of Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen.